Could we look, please, in Genesis 45? Genesis 45 and verse 24. This is dealing with speaking about Joseph. So he, Joseph, sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. Did I say it was verse 24? Genesis 45 and verse 24. It may seem like an unusual subject at the beginning of a conference, but it's been impressed upon me that one of the big challenges we face, at least in North America today, is getting along. Getting along. It may seem like a simple thing, but it's a big thing. Joseph here, the last recorded words to his brothers before they headed for home and their father, he said, see that you fall not out by the way. Interesting, the Lord Jesus, some of his last words to his own, the night before he went to the cross, told him to love one another as I have loved you. And he just finished, of course, washing their feet. But in that same upper room, we read in Luke 22 that the disciples were quarreling as to who would be the greatest. And we can look at, throughout the Word of God, there are many examples of God's people not getting along. I think it matters to the Lord that we get along. Look with me in Colossians now, just a few verses where God gives us some instruction, and I know the context there may not be getting along with one another, but if we could put this into practice, it would go a long way in getting along with one another. And let me just say that I'm not firing any salvos at the assembly here in Jackson or any other assembly. I don't have anybody or any assembly in mind here. I guess I just know human nature a little bit. I know my own flesh a little bit. Brother, sister, may the Lord help us just to get along, to bring honor to the Lord Jesus. How much dishonor has been brought to him by us not getting along? People aren't blind out there. Our kids aren't blind. We might try to cover it up. See that you fall not out on the way home. We're on our way home to our Father. Hallelujah. What a hope. But in the meantime, what a responsibility. To love one another as he has loved us. Look with me in Colossians 3 and verse 12. Colossians 3 and verse 12. And I know we're jumping in the middle of something here, but verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to blow right by these verses and really doesn't have the impact that it should. Notice first of all these, while the King James says bowels of mercies, really seems to be a heart of compassion, but a heart of compassion and kindness. These first two qualities that are mentioned here. What is our response to the needs of others? You know, we can be so hard-hearted. I can, and there's need all around me, and I'm so busy with my own life, I don't even see it. And I can be critical, maybe just look up once in a while and can't understand why somebody's doing what they're doing. But here we read about a heart of compassion. Didn't this characterize the Lord when he was here on earth? We read about him having compassion on the multitudes, on the blind, on lepers, on widows. And isn't that how he treated us when we were in our sins? And isn't that how he treats us day by day? That heart of compassion. You know, there's a song. It was written some time ago, but he looked beyond my faults and saw my need. Enjoy those words. That's what the Lord did with you and me, or we wouldn't be saved. He looked beyond our faults and he saw our need, and he still does that. Brother, sister, may the Lord help us to look beyond one another's faults. Always easier to see faults in one another than to have a heart of compassion and try to meet that need. You know, I think a lot of times we don't realize what people are going through and what's causing them to do what they do. A heart of compassion goes a long way in getting along. And tied in with that is the next one, kindness. Now, if a heart of compassion is a sympathetic feeling, perhaps kindness is sympathetic action. It's goodness in action. My wife isn't here yet. They were hoping to be here, but they got away later than they expected. So I can say this about her. You know, I see these things in her, and I wish I saw it in me more. That heart of compassion, seeing need around, and then the kindness, doing something about it. Some people excel at this. And I guess it smites me because I've been shown great kindness. The lady that first brought me the gospel. That's what really spoke to me the most, her kindness. I know she was preaching to me as she was give me something to eat around her kitchen table, but, and I know God used his word, but it was her kindness to me, with my long hair and arguing with her, thought I knew something and didn't know anything. And she was kind. She could have just blown me off and told me to hit the road. She didn't. You know, we read in the Old Testament about David, that he wanted to show the kindness of God to Mephibosheth. And you know, he brought Mephibosheth from Lodibar right to his table. Now, we're not told a lot, but what do you think Mephibosheth's attitude would have been toward David the rest of his life? And where I'm going in this is, you know, when somebody shows us great kindness, it's kind of hard to get mad at them, isn't it? I mean, I think David would have had a lot more leeway to not treat Mephibosheth right than maybe other people. Mephibosheth just would have taken it because David showed him such great kindness. Okay, we've been looking at our response to the needs of others, but these next couple of qualities, the humbleness of mind, the meekness, seem to have in mind our response to the grace of God to us. And you know, our response to God's grace has a lot to do with how we treat other people. First of all, this humbleness or lowliness of mind. John MacArthur says this is the perfect antidote to the self-love that poisons human relationships. Lowliness of mind. And of course, this is what characterized, each one of these things characterized the Lord Jesus so perfectly. But the thing is, God wants us to characterize you and I the little while we're here. And we all need this from one another. And thank God for the extent that it does prevail. These qualities that are so Christ-like. Thank God for any measure of this in your assembly, in my assembly. I'm not painting a black picture here, but just to, well, it speaks to my own heart, and the flesh is the flesh in all of us. This lowliness of mind, of course, in Philippians 2, interesting, in that letter that seems to have a little to do with perhaps people not getting along in that assembly. We read in chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself. And a few verses before, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That is, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or pushing yourself forward or vainglory, trying to impress, trying to lift yourself up, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Do we do that? Do I do that? You? Romans 12. Somebody pointed this out to me some time ago. In honor, preferring one another. And I don't know where they got this translation, but the way they looked at it was taking the lead in showing honor to others. Now, if we did this, would it make a difference in how we get along? Taking the lead in showing honor to others. I have known some who are godly people. And giants in the scriptures. And yet, what impressed me the most about them was their humility. Lowliness of mind. And then along with that, the next quality, meekness. The opposite of self-assertiveness. Interesting, you get humility and meekness here. You know the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 11 when he says, I am meek and lowly. Just flips them around, but the same basic words. Meek and lowly. That's what God wants to see in you and me. And you know, we know that meekness doesn't mean being a doormat. But it does involve being considerate of others. Really, we have no reason or right to assert ourselves. I mean, we've been crucified with Christ. It's only by the grace of God that we are what we are. So there's the response to the needs of others. There's response to God's grace. But then, finally, there's response to the faults of others. And maybe this is where many of us have a difficulty. What is our response to the faults of others? Well, we get three things here mentioned. The last word in 12, long-suffering. And then in verse 13, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Long-suffering. Enduring without retaliating. Restraint in the face of provocation. In other words, what do we do when somebody steps on our toes? You know, we can have a big smile on our face and when everything's going well, but somebody crosses us or, yeah, steps on our toes. We say, well, I don't say anything. I just avoid that person as much as I can. Well, the next word is forbearing. It's putting up with people. Being patient with people. And one translation puts it, make allowance for each other's faults. Make allowance. Now, this isn't speaking of condoning sin. It's just that we're all so flawed. I mean, people have to put up with me. Well, I hope you will put up with me. You know, we have put up with one another. And I guess what scares me a little bit is we all have our blind spots. And likely, you know, do things that aggravate people who we don't have a clue. Now, being married helps because you got a mirror there, if you can take it. Somebody has said that this forbearance, putting up with people's faults, they said this quality is likely far more important than any great thing we can do. But then there's the forgiving. And we know it in our heads, and we can talk about it, but it's a lot more difficult to put into practice. Forgiving one another, we read in verse 13, if any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And you know Peter's question there about forgiveness in Matthew 18. Peter said, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And the Lord basically told him, it's not about counting, Peter. Don't bother counting. And in Matthew 18, it's interesting that, you know, it's the first mention of the local church in the New Testament, right? And in that chapter where it's the first mention of a local church, there are three important qualities of character mentioned, and they all have to do with relationships. First of all, there's humility, because the disciples were saying, who's going to be the greatest? And the Lord says, whoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So there's the humility. Then there's honesty. If your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And third is forgiveness. And the Lord told about the parable of the talents where, you know, a servant owed a king 10,000 talents and was forgiven by the king. And somebody owed this servant 100 pence and he threw him in prison. Remember what the Lord said. I forgave thee all that debt because you desired me, you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Now it's easy to see that, you know, in the context of Matthew 18 with this king and the servant and so on. But it's a little harder in the rough and tumble of day-to-day life, isn't it? When somebody maybe doesn't treat us the way we think they should. These are real things. But finally, in verse 14, the Lord says, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Above all these things. Now he says it's the bond. It's the glue that keeps them all together. But not only the glue. To me, it's like the soil in which all these qualities can bloom. And if there isn't this love, the love of God shed abroad in our heart and giving us a desire, giving us the ability to have a heart of compassion and kind acts and so on. If there isn't love, then I'm not sure it's going to happen. It's been expressed many times in prayer in this meeting how dependent we are upon God. We need God. Absolutely. We need Him for a conference. But brother, sister, we need Him as well to get along with one another. If we just try to do it in the energy of the flesh, we likely won't do too well. May the Lord help us not to follow with one another on the way home.